Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
G'day, it's Tan from Oz here, and welcome once again to Go for Gold. This is your life and business challenges address. That's 646-716-7979. Now, my Instagram account, Tan from Oz, as you know, is a big push for myself personally this year, and I know it is for a lot of other people. In fact, someone said to me just last week, Instagram is hot. So today I'm super excited to be here with Rachel, who is a travel and lifestyle photo blogger being featured in Huffington Post in Western Australia's global tourism campaign. She's had her blog published in CentralPark.com, Hostel World, and many, many other places. Rachel's a real inspiration to me. She likes to lead a healthy lifestyle and loves to encourage and inspire others to do the same. As a single parent, Rachel is really your go-to person when seeking out the bargain travel deals. She's grown an Instagram account to over 20,000 followers, and she posts on social media at least 10 times a day. A warm welcome to you, Rachel.
Thanks, Tans. Great to be here.
Okay, Rachel, let's start at the beginning. Now, you have a world trip coming up that is largely sponsored by other companies, but it hasn't always been as wonderful for you as things are now.
No, things haven't always been as great as what they have been. And I'd love to be able to talk to people and let them know where you can come from and how far you can actually go.
Excellent. So take us back to around when you were about 16, because I believe that's when things sort of took a bit of a downturn for you.
Yes, they sure did. I was an only child, and my mother got sick with a rare form of melanoma cancer. And she was ill for the best part of 2 years and passed on when I was just turned 18, and she was only 49. So that left me in a pretty horrible situation with no real family to turn to, and things just sort of went down from there and just sort of started on my route to rock bottom, you'd say. And I found, I guess, solace in drugs, which is, you know, obviously not the best thing to turn to, but at the time, that was the friends I was hanging out with. They were that was what they did. And so I guess I just followed suit, and it just went on from there. And I'd say it would probably be a few years of me doing that. I met my first husband. Well, he was a drug user as well, and that was a very turbulent relationship. We were married when I was 19. Then I got pregnant. I had two children to him. He was very violent, and it just went on until I was 24 with ongoing problems, and I'd run away. He'd find me. And even with the police involved, nothing really settled down. And I just decided that I just had to leave him once and for all. So I did that when I was 26, and still fell back into the arms of an ex-boyfriend who was another drug addict, and things didn't get too much better from there. I had a son, and then by the time I was 28, I just went, okay, that's it with the men. Obviously, I have not much luck with that, so I'll stay on the single side. And that didn't last for very long. got married again when I was 30 to a nice normal man. And that lasted a year because I wasn't used to normal and I didn't know how to function with normal. And then I gave him, we bought a house, so I just gave it to him because I didn't want the responsibility of a house. And then I went back onto the drug path and went downhill probably to the worst that we'd sort of, I had been in the years. And I'd found that speed and ice were my drug of choice, which some people might not know, but that's a very expensive habit to have. So I had a cleaning business, which in the end I lost, and just so many things I lost, I guess, money-wise, and friends, and any family that was left didn't want to have anything to do with me. It was a big spiral, like downwards. So, yeah.
Wow. That's an incredible story, Rachel. And my heart just goes out to the you know, 16-year-old Rachel finding out that her mum has cancer and ultimately didn't last longer than a couple of years. That must have been devastating. So when you started drugs, obviously around the time when your mother was diagnosed, so obviously to maybe make you feel better. Okay, and welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for being patient in this wonderful world of technology. Now, Rachel's been talking about her life, where she had was a victim of domestic violence. She was using drugs to cope with her mother's cancer, and then her ultimate passing, and then was into some very, very unsavory relationships, I guess. Now, about 6 years ago, though, Rachel, after you lost everything, you lost your cleaning business, you became a single mom again, even though you had, you know, gone into this beautiful, normal relationship, bought a house together, all the rest of it, but because you didn't know that that was normal, you gave him the house, you left, and then you've gone back to drugs and you know, leading a life that's not one that anybody would really want to lead by choice. And something happened, though, about 6 years ago. Do you want to share?
Yes, I'd love to share. It was New Year's Eve, like 6 years ago, and I just had driven 100 kilometres, I'm not sure of that in miles, and come back down the mountain and had some drugs, and I thought, I can't drive another 100 kilometres tomorrow to go get more drugs and then drive 100 kilometres back. I was doing this ongoing, and because I'd moved away from the area to get off drugs, but I was still taking drugs 6 months into moving. So then it was even a further, you know, distance to go. So I just decided that was it. I was stopping, and I just stopped and haven't looked back. And I still had to run, like, I had a smaller cleaning business, and I had the kids. They were, like, teenagers by then. So I still had to run a house, run a business by myself, give up drugs cold turkey, and just keep functioning like I was a normal person and not let anyone really know what was going on. And I managed to do that. So there is hope out there when people have addiction. If you really want it bad enough to try and get normal, just get away from everything bad that's in your life. And you might have to cut off friends, family, you might have to cut off, but just get to a place that you enjoy being around. And if you just concentrate on it, you will get there in the end. And you won't look, when you look back, you just worth it. And yeah, like, I'm loving every minute of life now, so it's awesome.
That's great. So if you could give people who may be in a similar situation to you, or the same situation where they are you know, perhaps addicted to some form that is giving them a negative life, if you like. What would be your three tips? Because you went cold turkey, you had that mindset, and you just went, right, I'm not going to let this addiction overpower me anymore. And you have been clean for the last 6 years, and that's, you know, congratulations. That's wonderful. Maybe using drugs, maybe in a domestic violence situation, maybe doing just having something going on in their life that they know is not right and they want to get out of it. What would they do?
My three tips would definitely be make your decision. Sit down and look at yourself and are you happy? And if you're not happy, well, change it. So that's your first thing, to actually admit what's going on is making you not happy. Then I would get either out of the area that's helping your addiction or your domestic violence continue, and you think, oh, I have property, I have this, I have that. Money means nothing. You can always get that back. You can't get your life back if you just keep going. Like you could get killed with domestic violence. You could overdose on drugs. Then just make that move. Make a move to somewhere that is away from everyone. And then just keep yourself busy. Find a bit of a hobby, some type of work you're interested in, even volunteering around positive people. And just focus on that as hard as it can get. Just literally try and focus on the positive things and keep around the positive people.
That's great. And I love that number one is admit it, because that is one of the hardest things to do in that first step. You do it, or they are actually paying for your accommodation and you've got sponsors and you're taking great photos. And now let's talk a little bit about social media, because that is a huge part of your life. You post about 10 times a day. How do you find the time to not only attend to your posts, but to look for your sponsors for your upcoming world trip, or, you know, put out your blog posts? And you also are working at a healthy vegan cafe. So you've got work going as well. How do you manage to fit everything in?
I'm still single. I break up with dates when they don't like social media, because social media is my life. That's the first reason why I can do all this. I'm very focused, if you haven't noticed already, once I set my mind to something. And I started when I wanted to travel more, but I couldn't afford it, you know, being a single parent and not earning too much. I just decided that I wanted to subsidise my travel. And I thought, what else could I do? Maybe I'm 40. Like, I've never been anything else other than a cleaner or just done part-time jobs in you know, offices, or just nothing to do with social media. But I thought, maybe I can, people like my photos, maybe I can take photos and people might like them, and companies might like me taking photos of their hotels and they might let me stay there. So it was like a wild dream, and I just went, okay, I'm going to try. There's no use dreaming about it. I have to actually do something about it. So I looked at it as a business, and I started just focusing on posting twice a day on Instagram. Then I started my Twitter maybe about 2 months later, after I started really pushing my Instagram. And then Twitter just was a kind of a natural thing, but Twitter's like a baby. You really need to be on it a lot of the day, but it doesn't take much time. So that's how come I can post. 10 is very conservative. I post way more than 10 times a day. But yeah, you've just got to be focused and just make it your decision that that's what you're going to do.
Excellent. And now let's focus on social media for a minute here. And we had Anita from, where was Anita from? She's from Anita's Aesthetic Advanced Aesthetics Beauty Salon, and she wrote into Facebook, and she wants to know, how do you grow your followers on social media? And let's take something like, would you like to do a step-by-step process that maybe we can give to our listeners? You choose whether you want it to be on Twitter or Instagram or both.
Okay, a lot of people love Instagram. So when I decided to focus on my Instagram, I started posting twice a day and usually at the peak times, which is when I wake up between 5 and 6 in the morning. And then after dinner, usually about 7, 8 o'clock Australian time. And then the hashtags are very important in Instagram. Trying to find, I like a lot of landscape and just photos like that. So I had to not just put travel, because there's like 15 billion people in travel. So my photo's just going to get lost because I'm too small. So I would look for a travel journal, travel inspiration, or discovering words around. So I'd pick a major word, and then I would go into Instagram, go into the tags, write in travel, and then go down and look at the smallest thing that mentioned travel in the hashtag. And then I'll just go into all different words like sunrise, sunset, but then you can find ones that are much smaller that will still get you a lot of people looking at your photo. So to start out with, look for any tags, any hashtags under 100,000 photos in the category. The smaller the better to start off with. I started out with some hashtags with 1,000 photos in it. And so don't feel bad starting out there, because you've got to start somewhere. And out of your maybe 20 hashtags you're allowed to use in the actual comment section, try and get at least five in the top 9 of that you're using. Try and get your photo up there at least for a day, because that's free advertising for you. So if you aim big, you'll just let yourself down to start off with. Just start off small and constant. And I found that really worked. And like following and commenting with people, definitely interaction with the people that you would like to be like. Talk to them. Don't be a pain and do it all the time, every day, and say the same type of thing. Be interesting. Don't just say one-word things or send a picture on. People get annoyed with that. Make it a conversation. Make it worthwhile. And you'll find a lot of people will write back, unless they're really, really famous. You're not going to get their attention either. So just be realistic with what and who that you want to correspond with. And there's always a business where you can automated Instagram posting. And if people want any information about that type of thing, I can help out with that as well. But on Twitter, I literally started in May last year. I've only got 1,500 followers, but I still get over 120,000 impressions a month on my Twitter account. And that's just me retweeting maybe a third of other people's work and then posting my own photos and my own blogs. A lot of photos I post will go to different tourism sites, so that's where I get a lot of my impressions from. But I've been featured in London and Hong Kong and Canada on their tourism sites. So just don't be scared to tag them in your photo on Twitter, because you just never know. And same as Instagram. If you're the tags in the actual photo and the hashtags are very important. A lot of people don't like to use them. They say, oh, it looks a bit, too try hard. But hey, you've got to try hard to be seen. That's the whole point. So don't be afraid of tagging things if they're relevant. And just look what other sites are looking for to feature your photos.
That's absolutely wonderful. So just to recap on that, so with Instagram, post twice a day at the peak times. Use your hashtags and research your tags and try and stay under the 100,000 photos in that category. Try and get your photo in the top 9. And I really love, Rachel, that you actually said start small and constant, because there are a lot of people out there who go, oh, look, if I go and follow Kim Kardashian, maybe she'll follow me back. And when we know that, that's highly unlikely. Also the interaction, comment and follow and have a conversation. The reason I love that you brought that up so much is because in the last couple of months, I've really concentrated on growing my own Instagram account because I've been so inspired by you after meeting you at ProBlogger last year. And I found that I am building better relationships on Instagram than I have done so on Facebook. Facebook tends to be people that you, I guess you already know, but when you're building a business using social media, you're going to be building relationships with a lot of people that you don't know. And I love that sometimes I almost write a mini blog on Instagram, and I know you do too. Tagging, yes, I love that too. That's really important. So that's absolutely wonderful. And so with Twitter, retweet a third and make sure that you tag on Twitter as well. I think that's great. Now, Rachel, let's talk about your wonderful, wonderful trip, that really exciting one that you've got coming up. Tell us all about it.
Well, I've planned a 28-day media trip, which originally just started out as a 28-day seven-world holiday. And then I got contacted by Hostel World's PR people in America. They asked me to write a blog similar to one I've already written. And I negotiated a night stay in Singapore with them for the blog, which got me thinking for the rest of the holiday, maybe I can negotiate some accommodation and tours. And so I just started emailing people that different countries I was going to, in Iceland and Italy and New York, and just different tours I was really interested in, and just said what I do, gave my numbers in a media kit, and just said what I'd do. Have said yes. So now I have in Iceland alone 5 different sponsors, which include 4-star, 5-star hotels. Kim Kardashian's even stayed in one. And New York, I have maybe about 7 different sponsors that I'm seeing, and some might be photographers, hotels, or I might get discounts in helicopter flights, and or I might be meeting other photographers that are going to do photo shoots with me, and they take photos of other famous people. It's just having the guts to actually approach people, because I was so surprised that the amount of people that said, oh, we love your work, we would love to do something with you. And I'm thinking, little old me. but I've actually gotten probably the sponsors, is about 3/4 of my trip is paid for now with sponsors. So it's going to be very busy, because it's 7 countries in 28 days. But I'm really looking forward to it. And yeah, I just can't wait to get all my photos up. And the blogs obviously won't be written, because some countries I'm only in for 2 days. So the blog won't be written instantly. I'll have to wait till I get a little bit more time as I go along, or maybe on a plane I can do that. And just the photos will be going up though. So photos will be going up on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. And I even get to take over an Instagram account in Iceland with the car that I'm driving. And that'll be very interesting, because I've never driven on the other side of the road. So, but yeah, that's going to be an exciting trip, and I've only got a month before I leave, so I'm very excited about that.
That's wonderful. Now, if there are any of you out there who are listening and would like to call in and chat to Rachel, especially as she's going to be coming over to your side of the world very soon, you can call in on 646-716-7979, 646-716-7979, and I'm sure that Rachel would love to talk to you. So, Rachel, you've mentioned quite a few things here. Now, hello, I was going to say hello world, but it's not Hostel World. How did they find you in the beginning?
I just had a blog. Well, I just started my blog, actually, and it was just on a little free blog website. and it was maybe about the third or fourth blog I'd wrote, and I just got an email from their PR in America saying, we like the blog you wrote about the adventures you had in Queenstown. We'd like you to write a blog about adventure capitals around the world. And I was quite shocked because I thought, how did they even find me? Did they actually read my thing? And they did. So don't ever think that you're too small, because this started when I started my blog in May last year, and I'm pretty sure it was only 2 months later that they had contacted me, and it just went from there. And so I've been organising, I think since like August last year, all these different sponsors, because it was just so much to organise and people to ask. But yeah, like you don't have to be huge. Like I'm not tenses, I'm not getting paid at the moment, but I'm happy at the moment with just getting the accommodation, the tours, and all the experience. And once I come back, then I'll have all that behind me. Then I will be able to start making to monetize my blog. But yeah, so don't worry about how small you are. It can still happen.
Fabulous. Now, you actually are very proactive, and you are actually going out there looking for sponsors. And you mentioned that you do that a lot by email. So could you share with us how detailed you are, and what's the process? Where do you start? Do you research? Do you go say, okay, I want to go to Iceland, and so I'm going to email A, B, and C from Iceland?
Yeah, that's more or less what I do. I just choose where I'm going. And then I think, well, I want to go diving in Iceland between the two continents. I see what companies provide that service. So I just send an email stating who I am. And I find a lot on Twitter. Twitter is very good for business relationships. And I've found most of my sponsors through Twitter. If you write on tweet on someone's wall, I would like the email address for the PR person, you will usually get straight through to the PR person. Where if you just email into the info line, you can get lost. And then if you don't hear back within, you know, a week, I will tweet back, oh, have you got my email? People don't like seeing things on their business wall, like if people keep asking questions. You will get things done. So that's my best tip for trying to get sponsors, is be polite, be business-like, but be firm. It took me 2 months to get my accommodation in New York at one night free and the rest all half price, and that was 2 months emailing back and forth, showing my numbers improving, and then the lady on the other side trying to fight for me and talking to her boss and saying, you know, like, look at her numbers. And so it might not happen instantly. It took me a month to get the car in Iceland. So you just explain who you are, what you're willing to do, like 4 photos on Instagram, 4 on Pinterest, you know, 5 on Twitter, 5 on Facebook, and then say how many word blog you're willing to do, and have a media kit ready. And if you haven't got a media kit, definitely get Google Analytics. Write a little thing about you, have everything written down about what your numbers are like each month, and have that ready on the go. So as soon as you see an opportunity, you can just click that email and send it straight away. And
hi, and welcome back to Go for Gold with Tan from Oz. And we're talking to Rachel, and Rachel has over 20,000 Instagram followers, and she is talking to us about how she can get her how she gets her sponsors for her upcoming world trip we were just discussing. And what she does is she chooses her country, chooses what to do, where she wants to go. She sends an email address to the PR person and puts it on the wall on Twitter. And she then sends updates to that person all the time. So, Rachel, we've got about 10 minutes left. And I'd love to talk to you about your upcoming trip in a little bit more detail. Take us through these seven countries, where you're going and what you're doing. I'm going to Singapore first, and I'll be taking photos for Hostel World. I'm only there for a day and a half, just like a stopover. And I've noticed that Singapore is really big for Instagram. My photos that I've posted before have had a really like 800 likes on a photo. So Singapore is unexpectedly very popular on Instagram, if anyone wants to know that. Then I'm going to London, which I've been before, but I don't have any sponsors in London. I'm thinking I'll probably be jet lagged. So I'm just taking it easy, taking some photos, and I'll be staying at a Buddhist temple, which is really cheap, £30 a night to stay in London. If you ever want cheap tips, always look at my website. Then I'm going to Brussels for 2 days and go on a tour there, stay at Airbnb. So just some downtime from an actual big flight over there. Then I return to London. I'll be going to Iceland for 4.5 days, which will be work constantly because I'll be sponsored by the car company, Go Car Rentals Iceland. So I'm driving there 4x4 around. And then I'm doing the Arctic into the glacier tour, and I'm doing the dive, the Silfra, and I'm staying at the Hotel Ranga and Hotel Husafell, which are both very 4 or 5 star hotels, but very eco sustainable hotels. So I'll be writing about that as well. So Iceland's very full for me at the moment, but I'm really excited about it. The photos look absolutely amazing from over there. From Iceland, then I go to Zurich and go up to Interlaken, and which I've got sponsors up there in a hostel. So I'll be staying in a dorm room. And then I've got a tour with one of outdoor Interlaken. And so it depends on the weather, maybe some hang gliding. But if there's still some snow on the ground, I'll probably have to do a trek up to just in the Alps and take some photos that way. After that, I'm heading to into Italy. I go to Milan first. Then I go to Florence, which I have tours with Senso Travel. And I stay in Florence for 2 days, and then I head down to Rome, which I go to the Vatican and the Colosseum, and that's also with Senso Travel. I just book some cheap hostels over there, just my own room, which Europe I found is really cheap for your own rooms in hostels. Then I fly out to New York. I'll be there for a week and celebrate my birthday while I'm there, and I'll be going on a flight. New York helicopter, and so you're just strapped in with the doors open and you can take photos of New York. So that's a bucket list item definitely for me. And I'm also working with Pod 51 Hotels, so I'll be staying with Pod and taking photos and writing a blog about my stay there. And then I've got a couple of meetings with different photographers and body artists to paint me maybe out in Times Square. So depending on the weather, you might see me outside being painted, or I will be painted inside then dragged outside and take photos of if it's warm enough. And also Central Park sightseeing, so with the horse and carriages, I'll be doing some work with them, some photo shoots, and with their also with their bicycles through Central Park. That's definitely a bucket list thing as well. I'd love to be working with them. And then I go to LA on the way home and stay at Venice Beach, which I haven't been before. So I'm very excited about that. And then I come back home. So I think I'll need a holiday from my holiday. But yeah, no, it's really exciting. And there's probably so many other places and things in between that I can't even think of at the moment, because I've got a folder of paperwork of what I've actually got organized. And people were saying 6 months ago, oh, you're too organized. And now with only 30 days to go, I'm thinking, oh my God, thank God I was organized, because there's still things that are running through my head constantly. So I've always got, I'm a list person. Everything's on a list just so I can cross it off and know it's done. And yeah, so that's, I think the only way to do it is
still be really prepared, and I'm already like trying to line up the times for meetings in New York because I have so many people to meet and only 6 days there really to do it. So I've started already trying to knuckle down the actual times for things. So my adventure will be great, and I'm sure everyone will love the photos. The blogs are going to be nonstop, but no, I'm really looking forward to it. So yeah.
That's absolutely fabulous, and it sounds really, really exciting. Now, I'm curious, 4-5-star hotels that you're going to be staying at, so do they expect a lot more from you than, say, one of the hostels?
Funnily enough, they haven't even asked me to do anything. That was my shock as well. Sometimes the smaller the place, they will make you run through Coles to get something that's worth $50 and you're going, pardon? These ones sort of have actually put me up a category, I guess, because like Kim Kardashian stayed at Hotel Ranger and was actually kicked out of the hot tub for being too noisy, and I'm going to be staying there and all my food's included and wine and hot tubs, so maybe I'll be noisy there as well and get the same reputation. But yeah, I was really surprised that some Iceland, I actually got into working with a lady from Iceland Cool. She's a PR lady and she lives in New York but is from Iceland and handles a lot of big companies. And I just started talking to her on Twitter like she was an average, just normal person. And in the end, I saw her say something about a collaboration, so I sent her an email, and we've hooked up and organised a lot of Iceland. And if I had more time, I was actually even going into East Iceland to help her promote that, but I just didn't have enough time. But she could see the value of a travel blogger, where a lot of companies, they don't see it, and they will tell you that. So I'm getting used to the ones with less funds. They do want the most out of what they're going to give you. And so you will get knocked back. But once I do stay at the 4-5-star places in Iceland, I think that will give me much more leverage when I get back to Australia to stay at bigger places in Australia and when I go on further trips. So I will have a range of staying in hostels to, you know, luxury. So, I do like to save money when I travel, but sometimes I like to do the adventure side of things. So, I'd prefer to pay money to go on an adventure than stay in a really, really fancy room. But I'm not going to say no to staying in a fancy room and then promote that fancy room, because you can always, a bit of luxury doesn't kill you. So, you know, sometimes you think you work hard, well, let's do it.
Yeah. That's great advice, and I really love that. We've only got a few minutes left. Tell us about your blog. How do people find you?
My blog is, I've got a long name, which makes it harder to find, but it's rachelbrownphotoblogger.com, and I'm also on Twitter, which is rachelphotoblog. But if you get to my website, everything's on there to find my Instagram and my Facebook. But Instagram is Rachel_Brown_photoblogger. Hence, I'd done all these names before I thought I'd get famous. Or I would have made a shorter name. But my blog is lifestyle, travel, beauty, it'll be about me getting Botox. It's so many opportunities has arisen it's gone from travel to travel lifestyle and artwork. There's nothing I probably won't write about. So I've kept myself open like that. I don't want to just be boxed in. And I think that way it'll keep a lot of different people interested at different times. So you can't be everything to everyone. So I write about what I like, and I'm starting to write about all the funny stories that have happened. And I have a lot of funny stories, but I'll try and keep them all G-rated.
So what parts are you talking? You've got travel and lifestyle on your blog. Are you more writing now that you're getting the work coming in and that people you know, want to sponsor you, are you writing more for them or are you still writing a lot for yourself?
Well, since it's taken me so much to get all these sponsors, my blog has kind of suffered a bit. I haven't written as much. But, yeah, I still write exactly what I want to write now, and they will just be incorporated as the time goes on when I'm there.
That's great. We have absolutely, totally, really enjoyed talking to you today, Rachel. You are so fascinating and you're absolute inspiration. Just quickly tell us, who inspires you? Who actually inspired you to start your travel blogging?
Enough, just myself. I just wanted to travel and subsidize, so I just thought, why not? Yeah, so you don't really need anyone to inspire. Just if you've got the thought, just go for it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Rachel, for being on the show. We've enjoyed every minute of it. Thank you.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.